Chapter 41. As to assert that there is a dumb compact among us, that we will pretend that it is not Mayday's birthday. A mysterious and gloomy being, who is said to have gone to school with Mayday, and who is so lank and lean that he seriously impugns the dietary of the establishment at which they were jointly educated, always leads us, as I may say, to the block, by laying his grisly hand on a decanter, and begging us to fill our glasses. The devices and pretenses that I have seen put in practice to defer the fatal moment, and to interpose between this man and his purpose, are innumerable. I have known desperate guests, when they saw the grisly hand approaching the decanter, wildly to begin, without any antecedent whatsoever, "That reminds me," apostrophe, and to plunge into long stories. When at last the hand and the decanter come together, a shudder, a palpable perceptible shudder, goes round the table. We receive the reminder that it is Mayday's birthday, as if it were the anniversary of some profound disgrace he had undergone, and we sought to comfort him. And when we have drunk Mayday's health, and wished him many happy returns, we are seized for some moments with a ghastly blitheness, an unnatural levity, as if we were in the first flushed reaction of having undergone a surgical operation. Birthdays of this species have a public as well as a private phase. My boyhood's home, apostrophe Dullborough, presents a case in point. An immortal somebody was wanted in Dullborough, to dimple for a day the stagnant face of the waters. He was rather wanted by Dullborough generally, and much wanted by the principal hotel keeper. The county history was looked up for a locally immortal somebody, but the registered Dullborough worthies were all nobodies. In this state of things, it is hardly necessary to record that Dullborough did what every man does when he wants to write a book or deliver a lecture, and is provided with all the materials except a subject. It fell back upon Shakespeare. No sooner was it resolved to celebrate Shakespeare's birthday in Dullborough than the popularity of the immortal bard became surprising. You might have supposed the first edition of his works to have been published last week, and enthusiastic Dullborough to have got half through them. I doubt, by the way, whether it had ever done half that, but that is a private opinion. A young gentleman with a sonnet, the retention of which for 2 years had enfeebled his mind, and undermined his knees, got the sonnet into the Dullborough Warden, and gained flesh. Portraits of Shakespeare broke out in the bookshop windows, and our principal artist painted a large original portrait in oils for the decoration of the dining room. It was not in the least like any of the other portraits, and was exceedingly admired, the head being much swollen. At the institution, the debating society discussed the new question, was there sufficient ground for supposing that the immortal Shakespeare ever stole deer? This was indignantly decided by an overwhelming majority in the negative. Indeed, there was but one vote on the poaching side, and that was the vote of the orator who had undertaken to advocate it, and who became quite an obnoxious character particularly to the Dullborough roughs, apostrophe who were about as well informed on the matter as most other people. Distinguished speakers were invited down, and very nearly came, but not quite. Subscriptions were opened, and committees sat, and it would have been far from a popular measure in the height of the excitement to have told Dullborough that it wasn't Stratford-upon-Avon. Yet, after all these preparations, when the great festivity took place, and the portrait, elevated aloft, surveyed the company, as if it were in danger of springing a mine of intellect and blowing itself up, it did undoubtedly happen, according to the inscrutable mysteries of things, that nobody could be induced, not to say to touch upon Shakespeare, but to come within a mile of him, until the crack speaker of Dullborough rose to propose the immortal memory. Which he did with the perplexing and astonishing result that, before he had repeated the great name half a dozen times, or had been upon his legs as many minutes, he was assailed with a general shout of question. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.